and welcome to episode 274 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, writer of MI666, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And our very own Dusty Bin, Tony Esmond.
3-2-1 is a classic series.
It is.
Do you know who one of the female hosts was on 3-2-1?
No.
Carolyn Monroe.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's why Tony loves it so.
Yeah.
And another thing that he loves is comic book shops.
Yeah.
And just anywhere you can get comic books. And he talked a little bit about a certain store recently on the show. And that store is Strange Apparitions. And this week we're joined by Alex.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, Alex.
Who
not only runs the store, but has the best second name ever.
Esmond.
No.
No.
Kirk.
No. Hunt. All the best people are called that. Even Tom Cruise liked it so much he's been in 5 of those bloody films. Hang on, have there been 5 Mission Impossibles?
It's been more, isn't there?
Has there? Yeah. That's how good
the
name is.
The surname of the character brings it back.
Yeah.
It's you know, why wouldn't you? You think, oh, that guy's such a dude and got such a brilliant second name.
Got such a rhyming slang name.
Oh, please. Like, we haven't heard that before. Yes. So, on one of our recent shows, we did a little bit of talk about comic shops, but it was kind of like backseat driving, wasn't it, when we talked about that topic? Because we were just talking...
Plus, it was a bit last minute because we forgot we didn't have a guest.
And it was, so it was just opinions and stuff. But now we want someone on the front lines. And we know there's a lot of lovely people out there who are working comic book stores, who listen to the show. And hello to you all. I know some people actually listen to this nonsense, actually, like, in the shop.
While working, yeah.
While they're working. Mm-hmm. No one will judge you. Maybe Jesus.
I remember, I won't name it because I won't embarrass him, but I remember I did walk into a comic book shop, and I said, oh, hello, and the bloke was just staring at me and took his headphones off and was just staring at me. And I said, so you're right. And he went, I've just been listening to you on my headphones. This is weird. Yeah. That's quite fun.
I mean, yeah, someone's staring at you when you walk into a shop.
No, it wasn't Alex. To be fair, it wasn't Alex. But yeah. I do get scared out a lot in shops, mostly being accused of being a shoplifter.
Someone I know used to work in the Tate, and he was talking about David Bowie. You know, he works in the shop. And David Bowie came up. And he was like, David Bowie, we were just talking about you. He went, of course it was.
This is another proof that we live in a computer matrix, isn't it?
Yeah. I love that's what he said. David Bowie.
He said,
we were just talking about you.
And he said, of course he was.
Of course you were. why wouldn't you? Or however he sings. Anyway, it's been a long weekend.
We start again.
I'm running on caffeine and Ribena. That's how I roll. I was at a wedding this week, so before we start off, congrats to my brother from another mother,
one of our first guests,
comic book colorist and creator of Descending Outlands books. Sean Dobie got married this weekend, so huge congratulations
Sean.
Yep. And to put on a wedding,
sorry to hear that, my friend.
Amongst everything else, I mean, I don't know if he listens to the show. I mean, I don't blame him if he doesn't.
Solicited these skills for a bit of Vanguard work coming up.
Yeah, yes. There you go.
Yes. I know sometimes he has helped out some people when they've had some colouring issues and he's jumped in.
He's done some for me.
Yeah.
I would say if I find out a friend of mine doesn't listen to the show, though, I immediately don't call them a friend. Yeah. I block them on social media.
I haven't asked him for a long time because I don't want the friendship to...
That's true. Good idea. Crumble. Yeah, don't ruin it.
It's better to live in ignorance, isn't it, really?
Do you know what we're not ignorant to, though? Comic House.
The Comic House are lovely sponsors. How could we ignore them? Because they sponsor the show. They put up with these ads.
And they are the
indie comic marketplace with a difference. If you look on comichouse.com, there's loads of titles on the database. There's a feature check section. If you self-publish, you can list your own books on there for free, start selling straight away. And there's stuff being added all the time from all over the world. I mean, we're a UK-based show, and like but we read stuff from all over the world, and I know
it's become pretty international recently, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of our listeners, yeah. Wherever you listen to us, thank you for listening, and and let us know about your comic books wherever you are in the world, because then more people will discover them. And you can put your books on Comic House, so there you go. And they have an app, an awesome app, which has it's got a feature section. There's a top 10. It's been updated all the time. It's like basically like Netflix. It's a streaming service, so Netflix for comics. And there's loads of stuff going on there all the time. What's on there at the moment, Dan?
Mahoney's 3, The Last Stand, Bride of the Ripper, Dark Lines of London, Hotchpotch 3, Hotchpotch 2, Hotchpotch 1, Faye Felon Volume 2, Bloop's Secret Mission, Super Secret Mission, and lots more.
I knew you were. I haven't read any of them. I mean, well done, Dan, for getting through that. Could have made yourself. You could have made your life easier just by saying Hotchpotch 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. But
I was kind of scrolling down the screen as I was reading them, so I couldn't see what was coming up.
I bet Bloops was one that you were worried about saying.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Obvious reasons.
Yeah. Could have gone a bit OTT there.
Someone who knew their onions would have scrolled down and read the list beforehand, but.
Yeah,
that's not how
you're a pro. You're a pro. You remind me in that way a bit of Keith Chegwin, bit of a pro.
Yeah, there's a lot of people
mentioning Keith Chegwin. We've got to say congrats on the drinking draw on Friday.
Great drinking draw, guys. You missed a big one there. Sorry, you weren't there, but
hang on, yeah. Hang on.
Oh, we're still doing the advert. Hang on, we're still doing the advert.
Bloody hell! There's all of those comics. If you go to comichouse.com, it's only £3 a month. There's a 14-day free trial, and you can find out more by going to comichouse.com. Now you can waffle.
End of advert.
Jesus. I know structure is a foreign term on this show, but there is one somewhere in the distance.
I've got structure for you.
Oh, God. Don't laugh.
Well done. We made it through. Well done keeping the order there, V. Proud of you, brother.
Yes, but the drinking draw, which I wasn't at, but tell us all about it, Tony.
Brilliant, man. Brilliant. Loads of new faces. Loads of new people. Loads of great art being done. Went on for a good 2.5-3 hours, I suppose. Just the funniest night. A lot of it I can't really repeat, I'm going to be honest with you. It was good, though. Yeah, there's... I think Sarah Harris might need some kind of counselling now. But, it's good. She definitely did not have sex with Wolf Gladiators. I'd like to make that point. Yeah.
Basically, like you're in a kind of a herd and you don't want to get singled out otherwise.
Yeah.
You're descended upon.
I won't embarrass him by saying it, but one bloke at one point who was new, he went, he'd been there about an hour and he went, this is the awesome comic. What's going on? Like that. And he, to be fair, he did say to the end, and he said he'd had a great time, but it was definitely a lot of laughing. Yeah. Yeah. Pete Dorrie did a whole bottle of red wine. He was making me chuckle. You see him laughing.
Nice.
Yeah, so once again, Tom Curry, you're an absolute
good old
star.
Tom. I was also in charge of letting people in and out of the room. I had a minor breakdown earlier in the day where Tom was out rambling and I had to message you showing, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm old and I don't understand the internet.
It was easy enough, wasn't it?
It turned out to be easy enough, it was fine. So thanks, Tom, for looking after me. Tom runs a tight ship.
Yeah,
we've got another one in 2 weeks, then 2 weeks after that we got a special Thought Bubble one.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a month still Thought Bubble, but there's another drink and draw between the two.
Follow at this chucklehead on Twitter, and because he'll post up like dates and like details and stuff, and also that's if you want to join in, like you can DM him and he's got all the info and stuff. It's simple and it's great fun. And also
don't worry about not knowing anyone, just come along, everyone, because I kind of don't draw and I just go around and ask people what they're drawing and what Kickstarter they've got out.
Yeah, you
got to
do some drawing
out.
Tony, come on.
I did the previous two times, I didn't this time because it just descended into just larking about.
Because when I'm there, because I can't really multitask, I'm either drawing or I'm talking. Unless someone like asks me something, I'm pretty quiet for that. You know, I'm concentrating on what I'm drawing. But you've got that wonderful there's a wonderful atmosphere and there's a good sort of camaraderie. And
if you've got a new book out or if you want to ask advice, you know, we all go around and say what you're drawing, you know, and if you're a digital only person, Tom works it so you can share your screen and show what you're using and how you're drawing it and stuff like that. It's pretty educational as well. Yeah, really good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is open to absolutely everyone. So if you know if you were there and had a good time, get some more.
It's not
people.
A clique. It genuinely, yeah. We talked about this before we come. It's not a clique. Please don't think it is. Yeah. It's everyone is absolutely welcome. And I think when it started, you know, when it started, there's only a couple of people. It was just me, Tom, and a new lady, and she was lovely. And we're talking about where she was from, what she was working on, and she had an absolute blast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's good. Yeah, and it's very much all about that, and just bringing people together to just have a good night and just do some drawing and share the love of comics. So that's what it's all about, and it's going really well, and it's only going to get bigger and better. That's what. Yeah. And also, I couldn't make it this week, so it's been nice over the weekend to see people posting up the artwork that they have done, which is fantastic as well.
Oh, because you there's only so many tiles. And I've got a big computer screen. There's only so many tiles you can get on your screen.
It's like the Batcave. Tony's
It's about 30 people, and then I was chatting. I was thinking, "Oh, it's good. We got 30 people." And then Tom pointed out to me that we had a second page going. So it's it's a lot of people. Good stuff. Yeah.
So stay tuned for more info on that. Oh dear, it's all about the love of comics, isn't it?
Yeah.
This show.
Yeah.
And where can you get them? Well,
comic shops. Strange Apparitions. That's a good shop.
Yeah.
I've taken a few quid off me recently, I'll be honest with you.
So I think obviously 2020 has been, it's been a year. You know, let's not, no one needs to talk about why it's been a hellish year for a lot of people. It's just been a year, let's just put it that way. And so for sort of just independent businesses in general, it's been a tough one. For comic book shops, they're working even harder. So with that in mind, like Strange Apparitions have come along, and like Tony's just heaped praise.
Yeah, it's a good shop, man. Yeah, love going up there.
And
yeah.
I mean, I think to have a comic book shop in general, there's got to be a slight amount of insanity that goes into it. You know, as with this fandom, we're all a little bit crazy, aren't we? So what madness induced you to think, I want to start a comic book shop?
Well,
here we go.
I don't know whether to start at the very beginning or just give you the short story. The short answer is, it was kind of a reaction to my surroundings. I've moved to Spalding, which is where my shop is, and there's just, to put it bluntly, there's nothing here really to do. So, and I couldn't kind of like live with the thought of spending the rest of my life here, because I bought a house, so it was kind of like I had to live here.
Well about the area, but it's quite flat where you live.
It's really flat. I don't know how to do a hill start. So
is that why you moved?
So I thought, there's nothing to do here. I was working a job I didn't really like, and then we went for a small breakaway to Norwich, and I was just really taken back by how the Norwich is just full of small independent shops that really seem to be thriving, and I came home and I was so depressed, because I thought, like, you know, I really want to do what they're doing.
Yeah,
and go on my own. And I was working in a for a company where I felt kind of like I couldn't let out my creative side. And so I thought, you know, and I was moping around, and Emma, my partner, was just like, just do it, just like, you know, do it, you know, go for it. Because, right. You know, I can't have you moping around anymore. And but my, like, I want, it's not just something, I'm not like one of these people that just decided one day I want to do it. Like, you know, I didn't know anything about it. I'd been collecting comics for you know, well over a decade, and hardcore, and reading them since I was a little kid. And I'd studied illustration and visual communication.
Oh, okay.
So right. Yeah, because I did a BA honours in illustration, and then I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I kind of, like, in my second year, I decided I wanted to do something with comics, and I was kind of like drawing comics. And I wanted to actually be like a comic book artist, but I just could never do it. So then I thought, I'll open up the shop, and then at least I can work in comics somehow.
Yeah.
You know, even if I'm just like supplying people comics or talking about comics all day, at least I'm doing something in comics, which was like my love.
Right.
And that was it, really.
And now it's an unusual, I think it's brilliant, but it's an unusual venue for a comic shop. Did you want to talk a little bit about where you based it?
Well, this is our second location,
right?
And our first location was like really dank. It was That was, but it was also in a garden center. It's so weird. Right. We're in a garden center now, which everyone thinks is really weird. But we were in another garden center before.
Slightly lower class garden.
Yeah, it was really run down. It's now been demolished.
Social. Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
It's been demolished now. But it was like a wall, just a wall I was renting a little space in a room, right. And I was with I should probably say first I share it with a record shop. Which is also weird as well, a record shop in a garden center. But it's like a record shop in a garden center with a comic book shop inside a record shop.
But you say that, but it is a garden center, and there are a lot of old people who smell slightly of wee wandering about. But it's not exactly. It's
why
not
do
that
old people
sort.
Have to smell a wee, Tony?
Some of them do, don't they? Let's face it. I know I do. It's not just that. It's quite a sort of DIY space, isn't it? There's like different shops, and there's even a sort of sheds that have turned into shops and stuff, aren't there?
It's the UK's largest independent garden center.
And look at that mic drop.
Hang on, write that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's really good, and they let us do what we want. And and everyone thinks it's kind of weird, but then everyone loves it at the same time.
Yeah,
because like everyone in our area loves Baytree Garden Center. Like it's a thing to do. Like what you do on a weekend, you go to Baytree. Right. It's like the thing they've been doing, and it's run and it's owned by this German guy. And he founded it himself. So everyone loves that. He's just one guy made it. And it was just like, you know, nothing. It was like he was just selling vegetables or plants or whatever. And then he built it into this massive empire.
Garden centres are this sort of like, there is a cultish thing about them, isn't there?
Like, a lot of them are like open.
The
air.
Great day still, out, could, isn't it?
You could go to them almost, not quite from the start of lockdown, but after a period, garden centres opened up quite quickly, didn't they? And it's saying that it's, to me, it's the perfect venue because I drive there. Me and Falpy went there last time. You drive there, you park adjacent to where the shop is, you walk through, you go to the shop, you can buy comics and toys and stuff with you, you can buy records, you can buy an eagle or something. I think there's a shop that sells eagles or something, isn't it? and then you can have lunch. There's a big cafe there, like a cafeteria place.
It's great.
It's
has 1,000 free spaces.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't have to pay for your parking. It's none of this drive into a town centre, queue up to get into the multi-story. It's none of that nonsense.
Yeah, and we're really, really thankful they let us in there.
Yeah.
That was really good.
How long have you been there for, Alex?
Just over 1 year.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and have you found... One thing I think probably that a lot of comics have as their base is their pull list customers. Did you... Yeah. Bear in mind you were a new business. I'm guessing there was no comic shop before you in Spalding, was there?
People tell me there was one years and years ago, but no one can tell me specifically if it did... if it did new comics, people say, oh, it sold comics or it sold toys, but no one knows whether it had, you know, subscriptions and things like that. But no, it's the only one around in the area.
So how did you build up the pull list custom?
Well, I don't even know.
Without giving away any secrets.
Oh, no, there's no secrets. I don't really know. Just like people came in on open day and I just told them. And then just being friendly with the people. And every time someone came to the till, I'd just say, you know, we offer this service, it's free.
Okay.
And explain the rules of it. And, a lot of people, well, they just come to you and say it. Like, they know, but, you know, they've been to other shops before. So, they know.
We live in a bit of a world of disappearing comic shops, sadly, at the moment, don't we? There's a few that have bitten the dust. There's a few that have come up. There's another one in Dundee just opened as well, isn't there? But, yeah, I know what you mean. It's sort of horse and cart, really. What do you put first? Is because Diamond, you have to have an account with Diamond. Is that now it never used to be an easy thing to get? They used to be sort of fairly limited, but did you have any trouble with them or
no? It's actually really easy, and it was kind of too easy, and it was a bit worrying, really. Like, because I initially was going to do it online because I couldn't find a place to have a shop, and the prices were too high, so I was going to just be like another online eBay seller.
Yeah.
Which, thinking back, it wouldn't have worked because, you know, they're selling comics for barely nothing and making, like, you know, 1p on the comic. So, you know, there's no point. But the, so when I got through it, you know, they just needed like a few details and proof that I was actually not going to read them myself and sell them.
Right.
I mean, I won't go into all the details, but it wasn't as hard as I thought it'd be.
Right. Okay. Did they have a minimum cutoff? Do you have to order sort of 5 of everything or something like that? Or
No, you can order things in single. In singles, but you have to spend X amount every month,
right?
That's where it gets tricky though, because you can, you know, it's easy to get in there, but then when you get in there, to actually sustain it is incredibly difficult,
right?
because it's you know, you can return a very small percentage of items, and most things you can't. And you know, most comic shops just have like thousands of back issues.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, you've got to figure out how to sell them. That's the trick,
isn't it? You've got to figure out what you really need, what you can order slightly over that can be bought off the shelf, what the footfall is for that sort of thing. There's an art to it, isn't there? Really is an art. Yeah.
It really is. You've got to know exactly what you're ordering and, you know, what's going to sell, what you need to do, all this. And then, you know, when people, because we sell secondhand goods, so you've got to really be picky choosy of what you buy, you know.
Some stores like that as well, like, they'll extend it to the point of, like, they'll have a lot of stores probably out there have an eBay presence as well. To have that as well, that's almost another profession in itself, isn't it? Because there is a real knowing what you're doing, knowing how to list things, knowing the price. Some people charge ridiculous. I mean, you buy, out of all of us, Tony, you're probably the one that buys most comics from eBay and stuff like that.
Do you know what? It's really increased, I have to say. I buy probably at least 6 or 7 things a week off eBay at the moment. It really has, due to the situation with Orbital, to be honest, and the
situation of the world. I mean, the store in Glastonbury that I've obviously mentioned a few times over the past like few months.
Yeah.
You know, he said, you know, since everything kicked off, like his eBay thing just sort of took off, and he's done really well from it, you know.
Yeah.
And he's got some, it helps when you've got some nice back issues. We're not necessarily talking about, I missed the latest Spider-Man and the next month. You're not going to make a great profit from just selling.
Strange time to think about, like, investing in an online store. Because, like, you don't know when, how long this is going to go on for. When we say, like, it kind of stops and everything goes back to normal, as it were, will, like, the online business just fall out, the bottom fall out of it? Will people always stay online?
And what do you do about your online presence as well, isn't it? You know, so I mean, a lot of shops have just been like, we're still here, we're still offering this. I certainly saw a lot of things over the past like 6 months just sort of saying, this is how you can get your comics, you know, this is what you're doing, and this, you've almost got to up your game, haven't you, in that respect, just to let you know. Because I don't have one, but having an independent comic book store, you've got to have the megaphone out and sort of say, look, this is what we've got this week, you know.
More these days as well. You really have to. I'm surprised that the companies don't do it more, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been pushed to take a title that's really like, oh God, I've ordered 10 copies of that and now I've got 10 copies, like Cyclops?
I did. Yeah, I ordered Incoming, like 5 copies of Incoming. Do you remember that? The Marvel? No. It was just a preview book.
Oh yes, I do remember.
I stupidly thought it was an actual book. So it was that. And then I ordered like a few copies of like Iceman and I didn't sell any of them, so I haven't made too many mistakes. But you know, from collecting comics for all those years, you know that your bread and butter is Batman, Spider-Man, and X-Men and whatnot. And then you take a gamble on some of the things that you like. You know, Booms are really safe bet at the minute. You know, you get a few Boom number ones.
Interesting.
Yeah, how Boom's doing really well. Sorry,
see coming down the line that you think that one's going to be a good one. What kind of would sway you?
They usually have a preview of the artwork. I mean, I like the... it's actually an all-in-one, because you've got to think, like, the core concept, you read that and you think, does that appeal? So if it's, like, Dungeons & Dragons-based, that's really hot right now. So you think, oh, okay, that's really great. It's got really good artwork, you know.
I suspect you have to pay things like that.
Has there been times when, like... I mean, I guess customer interaction is a hugely important part, isn't it? So, you know, like you say, you're talking to the people that are buying the books from you.
Definitely.
Have you ever had someone sort of go, oh, you know, I can't wait for this book to come in the next like 6 months or whatever, and that's made you aware of something to possibly order in?
Because I'm really active on Instagram. I get all my customers just sending me a DM like, oh, this is coming out.
Right.
So it's
you got to pay attention to the press as well, haven't you? You know, all the sites that get information before it hits previews. You got to pay attention to that as well, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I don't as much as I should do. I kind of just wait for the previews magazine because I'm not going to miss out because there's a deadline. So It doesn't matter how early it's announced. I'm never going to miss out. So
I mean, don't do yourself any disservice. I know you're pretty hooked into a lot of podcasts and YouTube channels. We've talked a lot about it. I mean, I know you're a big kayfabe fan. You listen to us. There's a lot of channels you follow, you know.
Mm, I do, yeah. I do keep up to date with everything. I mean, there's other titles that are just like no-brainer. Back to the Future, Transformers. You just get that because I'm a toy shop. So it's like, you know, I've got the cross-promotion. I've also got the cross-promotion of vinyl. So if an Iron Maiden comic comes out, people come in and get an Iron Maiden vinyl. They come and get the comic.
Of course, yeah.
So I cross-promote everything.
Yeah, people who don't know the layout in the shop. So one side is comics. The other side is toys. I'm always ragging on you about we need some more Puppet Master toys. And and the other side of that wall is a huge record shop. So, it's a perfect storm almost in relation to a lot of things.
Yeah. It's really cool. And, you know, physical shopping's kind of dying out, but I just don't feel like we'll die out really because we're offering all the major kind of groups of collecting. So, and we've also got a Baytrian antique shop. So you can go to the antiques, you can go here, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
And you don't have to sort of say, oh, we've got a coffee shop within the store as well, because I guess they can just go down the road and just get one, you know, down a 3-minute walk, and there's one in the garden centre, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
I was at Atlanta the other day. Exactly. Have you ever had any wins out of the antique shop? Has anyone ever, or even the record shop, where they said, oh, I went around this dude's house to buy a load of records or buy an old couch and he had a load of comics? Do you ever get any results out of that? Or
yeah, me and Alan, who runs the record shop, we kind of like help each other out, and tomorrow we're going to run someone's house to look at their record and comic collection.
Oh, nice. Good. Keep me in the loop, Duke. Yep. You know, it's worth
10,000 issues, apparently. So.
Bloody hell.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to go check that out.
What's the address? What time are you going there? And I'm
like, well, it's Sheffield.
Oh, fucking hell.
Driving down the motorway, you see a car beeping you from behind. But Tony pulls up.
Touch your tyres, drives on. Yeah.
No. We got.
Yeah. But I always keep shop about 60% comics. It's for 60-40 toys, because it's in the title on the shop underneath the name, it always has comics first, because it's comics predominantly. Yeah, that's my favorite. So
yeah, I think I'll tell you what I like as well about your shop is you know the things that catch people's eyes. So you keep up to date with wall books as well, which is, I think, an important thing to talk about. So wall books, for those that don't know, are the ones that used to be traditionally behind the till and on the wall behind the, you know, and a lot of the times these days, if you go in Forbidden Planet, it's the variant of Empire or something like that. But a lot of the time it's stuff like, and it's stuff that I noticed, one of the ones I noticed with you was the 2001 Treasury Edition, which is the hotness of the moment, isn't it? Because I think they mentioned it on Kayfabe, didn't they? It's the old Kayfabe thing. Yeah. And keeping your eye at stuff like that adds another, you've only got to look at eBay. They mention a sort of an Outlaw comic or something quite rare on their podcast. And it adds 10 quid for it on eBay. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. They talk about it. They call it the kayfabe effect, don't they?
I mean, you can't get Domo anymore.
Can you?
You can't get it. It's like hundreds of pounds.
Really? I got that here.
I remember getting it, you know, for like a pound or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like years ago. And same with the 2001. You know, I'm asking £100 for mine.
Right.
Some people think I'm probably, you know, overcharging, but the copy I've got is like unread, and it's like, you know, it's so rare.
Run a business,
so
yeah, it's amazing as well. It's worth every penny for that art. Yeah, it's a gorgeous book. Yeah, I recommend it to anyone who haven't got it. So it's a Kirby does the movie 2001, and it's as nuts as you think it will be.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Is there anything? Are any other books that sort of have had the hotness recently that you've thought, "Oh, good, I'll keep an eye out for that," or "I've got that," or Tim Vigil? I know he's jumped up again, hasn't he? There's a bit of Tim Vigil love going on again.
Yeah. I'm not a massive Tim Vigil fan though. So
okay,
I probably wouldn't jump on that.
What was the book that me and Adam almost had a fight over in your shop the other day?
Oh, Cancor.
Cancor, yeah, that's
enough. Matthew Allison, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cancor is absolutely amazing. Yeah. Talked about really it cool. A while ago on the show. Absolutely love his
artwork. Yeah, you love that. Yeah, and he's beautiful. Yeah,
he's super cool. And the other people, you know, wish they people would jump more on, like Michel Fife, like all his stuff. You know, I've got a few Copra items in the shop, and you know, people don't really look at them, and it's quite depressing, really.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, and I got, you know, on the wall, I got all the eight balls, all Dan Clough's eight balls, and you know, they're just like the best thing ever. And you know, no one even looks at it yet.
Clouds is amazing. Yeah.
I put a Dark Knight's metal and everyone's like jumping over it.
And that's a unique thing, isn't it? Like, you know, immediately what you said there with April. For me, and you know, even if I didn't read it, I see those on the back behind a comic book store, and I look at them. And I think that's someone who knows their comics.
Yeah.
This is not just a comic book store, but this is someone who actually knows more about comics. Whereas sometimes when you go into stores and you just see like the latest books behind the shelf, and it just feels more like a shop. I think a comic shop kind of has to work a bit harder to be a little bit more than a shop, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I agree completely, man. And this is something you used to see more of. You don't quite see it as much, but the people who ran comic shops and worked in comic shops were almost, I'm not going to say celebrity, but they were almost a bit of a personality, a bit of a character that we all knew. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny one. So that's you. You're just Wacky Alex, they call you. Is that right? Or... But it is, you've got to be that guy who knows who they'll come to, they'll ask stuff, you know.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah. By the way, I wasn't insulting anyone who likes Dark Knight's metal. It's pretty good. I'll just use it as a comparison.
I think if you're running a business at the end of the day, you've got your comics that you love, and also you know the comics that are going to sell well. Sometimes, we've said it on this show, sometimes the comics that sell well, I mean, let's face it, they're not always great comics. But just because they have a certain title on it, I love it when a massive seller is an absolutely brilliant book, but we know that's the same with everything across the board: music, films, comics,
cinema. Fast and the Furious 7 brings the money in.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah. It's not going to win that many awards.
That's true. I guess this is one of my jobs. I should be promoting more, because it's sad that no one comes in and asks John Byrne ever. That's so sad. Like, he seems to be dying out, and
that's such a shame. I bought that Doom Patrol book of his the other day. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Yeah,
sad though, isn't it? Don't you feel? You know, he's kind of he's been lost, and he was the biggest guy of the 80s.
So many covers that when I was a kid growing up, and I saw all this artwork, when I didn't realise it was John Byrne. Do you know what I mean? And then you look back and just think, my God, John Byrne did all those covers or that artwork that I used to love when I was a kid. Like some of my seminal sort of Wolverine moments were when John Byrne was drawing him.
Didn't he before it was quite big? Like everyone used to go under John Byrne.
Yeah, the robotics, wasn't it? Robotics. That was the hotness,
Because with people kind of have moved all that conversation and talk now to social media, essentially.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Facebook groups, etc. Discord. I don't know if those a lot of those forum groups still going. I used to go to Pencil Jack a lot, but even that's been kind of taken out of the knees, really. I mean, why post your artwork on a forum board? We might see a couple of hundred people see it, or put it on fucking Twitter or Instagram, and potentially thousands and thousands to see it.
Warren Ellis forum was a place as well, and there was the Bendis boards. The 11 o'clock's forum, I was on that for quite a while. That was the hotness. I think social media overtook it a little bit, didn't it, sadly?
So it's kind of like my job. I see it as my job. I've got to keep these kind of things alive. Everyone comes in. Well, I've got a picture of Jack Kirby on the behind the till from that kind of 90s trading card set they did. It's just a picture of his head and that and everything, and that's there, and it says the King on it, and then anyone who asks, I'll try to big him up, that's a big thing.
There's so many angles to get people into Kirby as well, aren't there, when you think he pretty much created the MCU. He's got the Eternals is on its way, just for the sort of the movie going people, and then you've got the madness of stuff like 2001 and New Gods and Eternals and this sort of thing. If you looked at the comics, it's amazing.
Crazy. Yeah. Did you see the Captain America at the end, though, when they made that typo and they missed out Joe Simon in the credits?
Oh, yeah. Stanley didn't even work on it till issue 4. Yeah, I know.
Right, yeah.
It's
crazy.
It's a shame. Well,
yeah. Things like that push it back.
Yeah, and people, it's hot because people like Jim Rugg and Ed Piskor and Tom Scioli and all these people homage him and talk about him, and It's still very much in the vernacular, isn't it, Kirby? I think people rediscover him. Yeah,
definitely,
no, it's good.
Definitely.
Is there any other past books that you sort of push on? I don't know, something like Saga of the Swamp Thing, or, you know, is there anything else that's not forgotten but slightly in the back of our minds at the moment that you sort of say to customers, especially with Halloween, I suppose, you've got coming up, that's got to be a biggie. Yeah.
I mean, I've got a ton of like creepy and eerie Vampirellas that I'm always trying to get people to buy.
Yes, sir. I bought some from you. Yeah.
And I'm trying to think what else. Classic Tales. I mean, I've got my recommendations board in the shop that I'm always changing around. I mean,
that's interesting. So what's that?
Yeah. Then? It's the, it was there when you were there on the spinner rack that was in the middle that has the hardbacks in. On the left was a board that just says recommended by staff, which people think there's probably multiple staff, but it's just me. And I've put on there just like all my favorite things. So I've got in there Savage Dragon Archives, Cerebus. I've got, just all these things like Miller, Kirby. I had a kind of like a tribute thing with all Denny O'Neill and Joe Sinnott books, because you got that Joe Sinnott Brush of Greatness book.
I did,
me.
Yeah.
That was
yeah,
on the
good.
Tribute shelf.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, things like that. And I'm trying to, if anyone ever asks, like, oh, what do you recommend? I'm always like, you know, check out this board.
You got that, you had a Mobius little section as well, didn't you, on there?
Yeah, I had the Blueberry books.
Blueberry, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
Blueberry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really rare. So, anything on there. So not much has come to mind, but Cerebus is always one I think needs more attention, and they've just re-released it in like a new edition.
Have they? I didn't realise that. Okay.
Yeah, how big is that edition?
It's the first phone book. I don't think it's got anything extra in it, but they're really expensive. You know, like £40 or something.
Right.
£40 but isn't in the scheme of things, isn't?
I just ordered three on the buses, it's quite expensive for a lot of people.
I totally understand that, but
yeah, and we'll probably get the price in a bit anyway, but
I actually think he doesn't find his feet till two or three. I think it's almost confuses someone by giving them Church and State and comparing it to the first one, because the first one kind of starts out as a bit of a sort of Conan riff, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like Barry Windsor Smith, a homage.
I love it, but yeah,
it is. I remember when I read it for the first time, I got like issue 5 or something, and I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah,
but yeah, as you get into it, you realise how amazing it is, and then it loses its way. But just looking at the art, it's all the way through, and he's probably one of the best letterers ever. So,
okay,
you know, it's just great to look at in terms of an artistic sense.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a lot to it as well, isn't there? There's a lot going on.
Yeah. There's a lot of his views.
I'm desperate to get that book of the letters he wrote to his ex-girlfriend, which is a whole book, isn't there? Like,
probably. Yeah. It's probably like £500 on Amazon or something.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah.
I mean, I'm always trying to push Ronin.
Love Ronin.
I'm a bit of a Miller fanatic.
Right.
So I'm always trying to push anything he does. And not after Sin City, nothing past there.
Yeah, I get you. There's that sweet spot. I mean, I think Ronin, well, from Daredevil to Ronin to Dark Knight, there's a few other things there. There's some amazing stuff there, isn't it? Ronin had the fold out, didn't he? Why am I going mad now? It had a fold out, didn't he? Yeah.
The final page.
Yeah. It's a sort of cyberpunk before cyberpunk was popular, mixed with samurai, mixed with, you know, noir. It's good.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's like if you ever watch Samurai Jack, it's just the same thing.
They read
Ronin and just made it into a cartoon.
That's weird. It's like a reverse engineered Ronin. Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and the bad guy, Aku, he's just like the demon that he fights in
Ronin. Bloody hell. Yeah.
But the Samurai Jack's amazing, though.
Amazing.
That's got a whole legion of fans, isn't it, Samurai Jack?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I need to watch more of that, actually. That's one. I mean, there's so much to watch, isn't there, or read and
do. There's
not enough time in the day. There really isn't at the moment. I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
So what is exciting you about sort of comics at the moment? What since jumping into this side of comics, because to go from a fan and a reader and a lover of comics to then you're stepping behind the curtain in a sense.
Yeah, it's quite weird, really. You, my reading went down exponentially.
Mm.
You know, I was buying books, and because I was reading them, and because you pay the full price, you know, I've got to read this. And but then, you know, I'm getting books at a discount and everything, and I'm sitting there with books around me all day, stacks of books. I go home and I wouldn't read.
Right, interesting.
Right. But now I'm. That was only for a little while. I think I had a little slump, but now I'm straight back into it. But at the minute, I mean, I always read Savage Dragon.
Well, yeah, always. Good shout, man. Yeah.
Always. Did you read the latest Funnies one?
Yeah, I was talking about that. I did a podcast about Calvin and Hobbes, and fucking hell, this proves I'm living in a computer matrix, because of all the comics in the world that I opened that's got a two-page tribute is Savage Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Like the expressions on the face of the tiger was so good.
I sent the boys the one from the preceding strip where the dentist, she's at the dentist and she's like, open up, please. And she opens her mouth and he's thinking, I meant her legs, which is typical of Savage Dragon. Yeah, yeah.
That was great. Yeah. I love that also because it has extra content. So, yeah. I mean, it's very rare to see a letters page now. And he has like two full pages and or sometimes one, sometimes even three pages. And, you know, he writes back to everyone. And he's pretty spot on, isn't he?
Yeah.
With his comments. Like, he's real sharp. He's like, no. Or like, you're wrong, or you
know, yeah,
he doesn't take any shit, but it's really great. And he has to guess songs as well. But the
what did you say, Dan? Sorry, man.
You just like that on Twitter too.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the most consistent comics out there. That and Usagi, I think, the two that are just, you know what you're getting every month. It's just class. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But was the question what excites me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm always excited by the main guys because they're all pretty great, but it's kind of a bit like samey now, so I'm more interested in the independent ones at the minute. Okay. It changes really,
yeah,
like a lot of the time, or sometimes I'm more interested in things from like the 80s, but I've recently got I've got some nice books from Tribute Press which are very impressive, and I've got some books
we bullied you into taking them. Yeah, yeah.
And Harry Nordlinger, I don't know if you know him, he's he's new to me, really. He's not new, he's from America, and he sent me some of his books to sell in the shop, you know, which was really cool, and he's doing some really cool things, and he's part of this, I call it a new scene. There seems to be a new scene of the indie creators popping up. And I think it's kind of inspired by Michel Fife.
Right. Okay.
Really.
Yeah.
I think he's, and then, you know, he works so hard and everything. And then Charles Forsman came along.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Matthew Ellison was toiling away for years, but he suddenly come out of nowhere. Then you've got the guy who did The Freak.
Yes. Love that book. Yeah.
You know, he comes into the mix, and you've got Ad House. And then you've got this guy who's like the comic seller to the stars, who Jim Rogan and all them know.
Yeah,
like the indie comic sellers of the stars, and then is SPX. You got that?
Yeah, and you've also got around that. You've got the fanzines. I know which we talked about, didn't you? Did you want to mention them or?
Yep, Bubbles and Strangers Scene.
Yeah,
Strangers Scene is clearly influenced by Bubbles. So Bubbles is like the big one.
Yeah,
like the main one, and I think he's like not single handedly, but he's like, you know, reinvigorated the whole zine scene.
Yeah,
in but not in like comic zine, but reviewing zine, like. Like the comic,
old school guide. Black and white, yeah, yeah,
yeah, and Gary Groff type thing, but it's like 100% positive, so
yeah, and from there, Strangers as well, because Strangers is by a guy who was he worked at the MCMs and he's now back in America, and he's doing a similar sort of thing, I recommend them both, man. They're really good, they really took me back, and they're full of underground / outlaw strips as well, aren't they? I know Adam's in one of them this month,
they're both. Very good and very inspiring as well. You know, and they're all about, like, you know, write us a letter, send us a message. You know, get in touch, send us your books. It's, you know, it's a really good community, and everyone's posting stuff across America, across the world to each other.
But I think that's where we've got to be these days. I mean, it was kind of where, I'm sure Vince and Dan will back me up, it's kind of where we are with the positivity. And you've got it in shops like you, and you've got it in these fanzines, and we're not worried about all those fucking dramas that are going on elsewhere. We just want to love comics. That's the best thing about it,
Yeah, but you'll be negative when you have to be, which you have to
critical.
Be. And that's what I liked about your reviews you did on your Never Mind Anything blogspot. Because it was honest. And
I'm not looking to do anyone's legs, just because it's
and you
just
need more of that.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. Yeah,
because there's so much kind of like people making just crap stuff. So
yeah, more about that in a minute. Actually, funny enough. Yeah,
yeah, and yeah, you did a good article the other day actually on those fake comments on Comic House. I was really good. I don't know how you noticed them. That excites me. Because the thing that excites me most is everything Jack Kirby stood for, which was people trying their best. If you make a comic and I read it and I think they weren't trying, then I'll just chuck it in the bin. So that's why I hate Rob Liefeld. Because he says there's no effort whatsoever.
He phones it in all the time.
Yeah, all the time. He's just useless. But I think he's kind of like, he's a product of the time and he was too young. I think if he actually had someone who actually stood up to him and said, look, that's not good enough.
Yeah,
and,
if he'd have interned,
I don't think anyone stood up to him.
If he'd have interned with someone, I don't know, like Adams or Chaykin or, you know, someone who's got that, or Toth or someone like that, it would have been a whole different deal, wouldn't it? Because I think it was the ambition of youth. He just went ahead and did it and thought it was right and didn't listen to anyone and then never changed.
Exactly. If you look at his Hawk and Dove stuff, his first Hawk and Dove with Carl Kiesel and all them, it's actually really good because they're restraining him, like they're inking him and they're correcting everything.
Yeah,
and it's really good. If he carried on that path, he probably would be have been like really good, like not super good. He would have been like a Ron Lim type, maybe.
Yeah, it's good chat. Yeah,
but yeah, they just let him go mental, and they always. I hear them say on Kayfabe that like he elongated the limbs because he was influenced by Fistful of Nostar, but it's not. It's because he just probably never learned how to do the proportions.
Yeah,
that was it. It wasn't because of that. But they love him on there. They like seeing.
Yeah, they
God.
Do, don't they? Ed
Piskor once said that if you don't love Rob, you're like essentially dead to me and I hate you. And I was like, how can you say that? Like,
yeah, that's odd.
Saying that, like, I reread that Hawk and Dove earlier this year and it does stand up. It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've all got like wacky faces and doing weird stuff with their limbs and it's really cool.
Read that Major X and think this is the
fucking that was crap.
It's absolute garbage.
Yeah, it was crap. Yeah, I mean, I only read the first one. But...
Yeah, I only read the first one.
Why?
I feel like you've read already. You've read Image stuff in the 90s.
Yeah.
Good. Are there any new releases coming up that you're quite excited for? Is there anything that's coming up? I know one of the ones I've just pre-ordered is the Kirby Captain America when he came back to Captain America in the 70s omnibus. I've ordered that.
Well, the Mad Bomb one.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Yeah.
Is that like a nice big?
It's an recolored
omnibus.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, hardback.
I don't know why I don't know why they don't just print them on newsprint, because they always do the pinks really kind of garish.
Yeah, but I'm quite happy. I used to like the Vertigo trades when they were on more newsprinty type paper. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks so good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, because I didn't back it on the Kickstarter, but you could order through Diamond Catalog the Octobriana book.
Oh, okay.
Jim Rugg. Yeah, so I've ordered that. Yeah. And I mean, so there's that. And then I'm trying to think. There's not loads of stuff. I mean, that's bad for me to say.
Well, I think the thing is, we don't really know sometimes what's coming out when and what isn't because of the delay on a lot of things. I know Valiant still haven't really gone back properly into production. Mm. There's a lot of their books that we still haven't seen the third issue from when the first issue was at the start of the year. So I think it's hard to figure it out sometimes.
I think with a lot of publishers, though, I mean, I think maybe one of the things that's Boom have kept going, haven't they? You know, whereas a lot of publishers have sort of stepped back a lot of stuff. Boom have been fairly. Am I wrong in saying they've been fairly consistent and still putting out what they were doing before?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. I haven't missed anything.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Right. So, same with IDW. They've been really good.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, there's a reason why these companies are.
Are
doing well for themselves. Yeah. And, you know, put out good books and you keep putting out good books.
Yeah, it's consistency is what we want as comic collectors, don't we? Yeah. As readers, we want a consistently good comic.
And you've got to get good books out.
That's the thing. I think it's because they're not as big, so you know they don't have like 100 titles a month to release.
Yeah,
I think that's always been their problem. Always. Marvel's problem, DC, you know, there's too many books.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, is it Jerry Conway who's put that thing out online about stripping the stripping the line.
Yeah,
back,
I was hoping to talk about that actually.
But... Okay, man. Yeah, no, feel free. It does enter into what you're doing, doesn't it? Because he's talking about. Yeah. Let me get this right, because I've only read it once and it was a while ago. Yeah. He says you cancel everything, you bring out the core titles as issues, and the rest goes to trade or graphic novel. Is that right? I can't remember now.
Yeah, you're right. Apart from the fact that the core issues have to be aimed at like an age of like 8 to 13.
Right. Okay.
Because you know, I think it's a problem as well that they since Stan left in like, you know, in the late '60s. Or, you know, went off to do other things.
Yeah.
They've never been able to get, like, the youth in.
Mm, okay.
Because the writers who then came in were the ones reading it. So they came in and they wanted more adult stories as they grew. So, and then it never went back to the way it was.
Yeah.
So kids could never get in. It's always been a problem. So
well,
they.
And like, sometimes when they. It's like, oh, well, we have a kids' line. If you think about it, there shouldn't be a kids' line. The comic should be the kids line. I didn't have a, you know, the simplified someone writing down to children's version of my characters. I had the comics that I picked up.
Yeah. And exactly.
You know, yeah. And therefore we see the growth of these other companies, you know, like Boom yep. Again, or like, you know, things like this, Hilda from No Brown and things like that. They're giving this audience comics because kids like comics. So why are they making comics that kids can read instead of these convoluted, you know?
Yeah,
it's too far gone, really.
Yeah, yeah, part of that is also backing yourself into a corner with the distribution model as well, don't you?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean,
a reader that did put a list up saying, like, if you wanted to follow this storyline event in Marvel, you had to jump around about 6 books.
I've just done that X of Swords. I read the first issue of that.
Yeah.
X of Swords is like issue 1 of 23 on the cover, and I'm like, fuck it.
That's part of the problem, though, because every single time they do the multi events too close together, so and most of them are shit. So you buy it and then you get burnt and then you don't buy the next one. So if they did every 3 years, you'd be really excited. So you catch all the new people who are new to the comic book collecting, they buy it, and then they think, oh, this is crap. And they don't buy the next one. And then they do an event where someone dies, and then you get burnt again, and then you don't buy the next one. So every time you do an event, someone gets burnt.
And you worry that you're out of the loop as well when you miss an event, and it puts you off. It's a jumping off point a lot of the time, I suppose, is the classic answer, the classic things that people are calling now. They're calling events jumping off points rather than jumping on points.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, Secret Wars, the ultimate jumping on point. You've got all these rare characters. Actually, a quality. They write Cap or Iron Man. I'm going to give that a shot. And then you could go into their comics. But I can remember loads of stuff like when you're reading the title and then suddenly it goes into a crossover and it's like, I might as well not fucking bother getting this issue.
Yeah.
Because it only puts lip service to the story and the characters. And then the next issue is like, none of that ever happened. And it's just back to.
Do you think there's something to be said with a lot of like mainstream comics as well? Like, comics are almost, they're too grown up. That sounds weird to say.
Yeah,
but
you know, we're talking
about Batman and Spider-Man, and the people that throw their toys out the pram and sort of throw death threats about on social media are probably middle-aged white men. Who have a problem because they've done something with their character. It's like, you're a grown-up. Act like a grown-up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Comics have to be fun. And like you say about those events, I've read a couple of issues of an event and just thought, this is so depressing and talky that I'm out. I don't care about any of this.
I just need the kind of range, didn't you? And sometimes to me, it seems like as he pointed out, they focus too much on the adult market and kind of, the comics have stayed with the people as they've aged, but they've not ever looked back at the younger audience. And
I mean,
it's a diminishing market if you do that.
Yeah.
I'll hold my hands up and say I'm a hypocrite when I talk about this, because, for instance, Jonathan Hickman's X-Men book. Kids aren't going to read that. They don't know what's they're not going to know what's going on.
I had trouble understanding X of Swords, and I'm 58.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, we can understand that the comic experience is an enjoyable experience, but we're talking about end game. Do you know what I mean? We're talking like the bigger picture here. Because as we always say, it's the next generation of readers who are the most important generation. At one point, we were the next generation of readers, and now we've got a podcast every week talking utter shite.
It's true though, because I think like my shop will see me out till I die. There'll be enough readers around till then, but I think you know, in the future, there might not be any unless you kind of act now.
Yeah.
But actually, when we say that the comic books were kid friendly, you think, you know, back in the day they're like they're fighting Nazis and whatnot, but kids loved it. Yeah. And you know, when you actually look at kind of Kirby's fight scenes, they're the people are like literally trying to kill each other. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's someone ripping someone's head off. Like,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, kids love with that stuff.
Yeah, they love it. So you need like a perfect, you need fun.
Yeah.
But you have loads of fight scenes, but then on like, you know, a little bit of the page, you have a little bit of serious bit.
And,
the
and yes, like older comic, there's some massive problems with certain, certain way things are portrayed, and the world has moved on since these sort of things. But the basis is like action, fun. Yeah. Sometimes
it's,
and it shows that we will appreciate it. The adults in the world will appreciate it, because I find myself reading more old comics these days than I do new comics.
Yeah.
I'll quite happily go back and read Kirby's Fantastic Four, which, let's face it, was directed at 14-year-olds at the very oldest.
Mm.
You know, but I'm quite happy reading it because it's just so amazingly looking, and the characters and the design and everything. I don't mind.
And
so,
I kind of like there's a point it sort of reaches me as well. If I think about it, I don't think about it at the time. I always think about things when I'm on this show talking about them. Mm. I will enjoy more. You know, how many times have we seen Spider-Man have a fight with someone and he gets his ass absolutely kicked? And you know, you see the pages, and he's sort of wobbly on his feet, but he's still got the suit and everything's intact. But these days, if Spider-Man gets his ass kicked, the mask is a mess. He's bleeding from probably every orifice, and he looks in absolute state. Do kids want to see that? Do I really? You know, I understand. I'm thinking of it's going back a bit now.
Was that start? Todd McFarlane definitely had a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, let me put this as a devil's advocate then. Do we think we need two lines of comics? Do we think we have, like Conway says, we have the regular comics that are directed to the kids, but for us, we have the hardbacks, the bande dessinée style.
I mean, there's two lines like that. I mean, Marvel have tried it with, like, you know, you have the Marvel Knights or the Max series and stuff, don't they?
But yeah.
It only goes so far, really, I think. But, you know.
I think the problem with that is the Max series kind of dispersed and spread a little bit of disease into the main comic.
Yeah.
I think that was the problem.
They set the spike in sales and think, oh, we can bleed some of this off. And then before you realise it, you've killed...
He's beheading people in the regular comic or something. Yeah.
So what I should move, personally, I don't know how viable this is, but say like the Kickstarter kind of model when they say, right, we're going to write this story, Punisher. It's going to be a trade paperback. It's going to have him fight the mafia or whatever. And when it gets to go, we're going to publish it. Everyone who's put in gets their comic or gets the trade. And then maybe go like that, but then you have a regular series which is aimed more at the younger generation that comes.
I mean, Punisher is a hard sell for the. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to love it. But I mean, for me, that Punisher was a brilliant example of like the Punisher Max series. I love that. That is a phenomenal 60 issues. That I don't want to see that character amongst the 616, like hanging out with Spider-Man stuff. I don't. I've I got my peanut butter and I've got my jam. Never the twain shall meet.
I think there's a lot to be learned from the bande dessinée model of an album every year for us adults.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see any harm there.
Yeah.
And make the comics for the kids cheaper, more disposable, and more kid friendly. And I think I don't think there's any harm there. It's a weird one. I mean, I'm not in. I'm only just in marketing, but I'm not running Marvel. You know, it's up to them. But it does seem to be a diminishing model of sales at the moment.
Envy at all. Any kind of decision they have to make, because I ain't got a fucking clue which way they'd run it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only downside is that the monthly sales are absolutely vital to comic book shops because it brings someone in, and when they're in, they buy a Pop Funko. So if a new
what's your mouth out, Alex?
If a new Bande dessinée comes out like every 3 months.
Then,
I think the advantage I might not see someone for 3 months.
Yeah, the advantage of the comic shop in France is they have them out so regularly, don't they?
It's
competition to get shelf space. We hear, you know.
But if you had like the comics, rather than buy a comic and you don't get much change out of a fiver, make it real cheap as possible, and then go in and pick up a load of titles, and that's the way. Rather than, like, we mentioned it before, like on the premium paper with the glossy card.
Yeah, I hate that. Yeah,
driving the prices right up, and
to newsprint. Yeah,
don't know how much kind of newsprint. They don't use it so much nowadays, as far as I'm aware. It's not.
We
like...
could definitely do a lighter paper because my floorboards are feeling it. That glossy paper is a lot heavier in a long box.
Yes, interesting scenario. Lots of difficult decisions to make.
I mean, imagine being that person at the top who actually says, "Like, yeah, we'll do it." It's like
you're
going to
be
end crowned comics.
A king, or you're going to be executed at the guillotine, aren't you? Yeah. You're either going
to
be.
But we don't want it. You don't want it to end, though, do you? Like you don't want monthly comics to end because it's like the best thing ever.
I know. Yeah.
Also, the idea of going all digital is just like to me that seems lunacy because
breaks my heart.
I don't think it won't, though. I don't think, because comics have been fighting to stay alive since, like, you know, since Kirby left Marvel. So
there's a primal collector sort of DNA, isn't there? People want to collect things. People collect coins. People collect stamps. People collect God knows what, and a comic book, you know, vinyl. Toys.
Strange
apparitions.
Subliminal.
You can get it all.
Superliminal. Yeah, that's true. I think even if the mainstream ones died, you'd still have all small. But you still have Tribute Press. Tribute Press. They'd be pumping it out. All these small ones, and then they'd have a chance to shine.
Yeah.
See, we don't have a business model. Our whole comics making creativity is based on what makes us laugh. When we're eating, so it's nothing
fun
to do with
then, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but then that comes through in the comic book.
Yeah,
thank you.
All the fun, which is like, you know, the best bit.
Well, that's where I was going to move a bit with this. I think, guys, if you don't mind, is that we're a small press in the majority small press podcast. What do you do take books in, don't you? I know we've talked about this before. Are you open to that idea?
Yes.
Good. Thank you for that answer.
I'll take them. Not every book.
Yeah,
I'm very strict. I have to look at it and make a decision whether I think it will sell or not, because my shop isn't very big. So
it's a matter of contacting you, maybe sending a PDF through or something like that you can look at and make a decision, or just a single issue through to you.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I've only just started doing it.
Yeah,
I was always kind of like, you know, what do I do? Do people give me it, or do I? Because I didn't, you know, it sounds bad. I didn't really want to start paying for them in case they didn't sell.
No, I think we're quite open about saying it around the deal we've got with you is we've got a percentage deal with you. If you sell it, you send us a certain percentage and keep a certain percentage, and well, there's nothing up front with us, and I think that's fine by most comic
small people. You guys are lovely. You know, you even hand delivered them, man. I wish everyone would. Yeah, but then there's there's the percentage, and then there's, you know, do I have to post them? Say they don't sell, like, I kind of don't want to post them back, I've got to be honest, because...
Yeah.
If I've got to post back 40 books, it's going to cost me so much money from 40 different creators. Yeah. And if you give me 3 books, it's just like, I'm out so much money.
Yeah.
After doing a nice thing for someone.
I mean,
I think you said it, you know, if you've got a couple of issues to send an independent comic book store, send them the issues, but also send them, a stamped envelope.
Oh, that's
just
good.
Just
yeah.
in case they don't sell them, it's like, well, thanks for having my book. If none of them sell, here you go, you can send them back and you don't have to post, you know.
You have a condition if they don't do that. If you say, look, we'll contact you, we'll put these on sale for, I don't know, 3, 4, 6 months, whatever it's going to be. If they don't sell, you either have to send us the money or they just go in, you know, the cheap bin or something like that, whatever you want. And a lot of people just like to get their comics out there for people to see. Sometimes that's enough for us, you know.
So I'll say, anyone listening and you have a book and you'd like to show me it, then please, you know, you can email me. Oh, I can say the email at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
or, say it now and we'll say it again.
We'll do it again.
So if any creators listen to this bit, if they want to get in touch with you.
It's a mouthful. It's Strange Apparitions Shop. That's 2 S's. Strange Shop @gmail.com.
Nice. And they can find you on Instagram, is where you're most active, isn't it? That's on
I'm always on my phone, so you can DM me on Instagram, you can message me on Facebook,
Apart from when he's dealing with customers. He will always talk to his customers then. He's not going
to
ignore
them. Yes, I'll always talk to our customers. I don't know if we... Are we talking about what makes a good comic book shop, or are we doing that later?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, let's do it.
Because the last week was very interesting, listening to all your experiences and whatnot, and what you thought made a comic shop. And I was listening, and I was really enjoying it.
I mean, you're obviously doing what you can, but what do you think makes a good comic book shop in terms of the whole experience, and what have you tried to achieve with yours?
Well, I'm not like an amazing businessman or anything, but I've been in loads of comic book shops, and it's like same rules that apply to every other shop. Right? It's got to be well laid out. Mm-hmm. It's got to be kind of clean, and the staff have to be like friendly and knowledgeable. That's like the three main rules, really, and a good selection. So four key points. If you hit maybe three out of the four, then you're doing pretty well.
Yeah,
and then people will like always come back because they think, oh, it's clean. Or I get a hello or something, you know, I'll go back anyway. Even if, you know, that's, you know, simple kind of like rules. But most importantly, I always like treat everyone really well. So, you know, whoever you are, I'll say hello, be really friendly, and I'll always be up for a chat with you. And, you know, I've been stood there for hours chatting with people about not just comics. You know, we talk about like anything, you know, how they're feeling, whatever. Just, you know, offer just a really good service. And then, if you DM me at like 10 p.m. on Sunday, I'll probably write you back like in a minute. So I will feel like a really good service that way. So if you say, can you pre-order me this book? I'll be like, yes, straight away.
I like it.
That helps my business.
I follow you on Instagram, and you put, I don't understand the internet, Alex, as I'm sure you've heard, but the little Instagram stories, you put what you've got this week. And a few times I've messaged, oh, how much is that? Okay. And I know I bought, what did I buy off you the other day? The Adrian Tamin books, didn't I?
Yeah, 22 stories, something like
that. That's it, yeah. And they appeared 2 days later in a box. Yeah, good man. Yeah,
there's a lot to be said for that sort of, not necessarily marketing, but, well, marketing / information tool, isn't there, really?
Yeah.
You know, with the work you guys do, and I think we mentioned it last, Destination Venus, they're always sort of saying,
good lad, isn't he?
Yeah, really good. Because I know we can't compete with Amazon, and when people come in my shop, they know they're going to pay maybe like £3 more for a graphic novel, maybe even £4 more for a graphic novel. But they're happy to pay me it because they think, like, oh, this guy's like, he really cares about what he's doing. And he's like, he's, you know, providing me a place where I can go.
And a lot of us do really want to support independent businesses right now.
Yeah, exactly.
A good comic shop is a community as well. Yeah. In the past, I've certainly experienced that. And I think that's something that we need to recover a bit. I know Gosh does well by it. You know, Gosh does a drink and draw every week, for example, and stuff like that. And to go in and, you know, I mean, I used to go in my comic shop and sometimes I'd be in there for 3 hours chatting to people. Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
And that I am annoying, to be fair. But the...
I mean, 273 episodes of that, if you don't know that by now. Folks,
yeah, thank you. Thank you. But yeah, I like that as well. That's another advice, I think. Yeah,
that's good. And also, you've got to know your stuff. That's another thing. Like, you know, I don't want to go... Someone asked me, like, just anything. I want to be able to know what they want, you know?
Going to these sort of stores, or it's the same for like music stores or anything like this, you know, it's something that people are passionate about. And when they go into a store that, and we've all been into those old record stores that they're sort of small, dingy, but like, you know, there's loud music playing that you've never heard before, you're thinking, what on earth is this? But there's an atmosphere and there's a real you know, and the people know what they're talking about, and it just gets you energized. It's not just, it goes beyond just being a shop.
Yeah, it's the old, what's that movie about the record shop?
High Fidelity.
High Fidelity, there's that to it, isn't there? Mm. Yeah. I always like that bit where he says, I'm going to put this song on, watch us sell 3 albums by that band. I like that moment.
Well, you could say a lot about that about comic books. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, there's been events in the past. I know we've ragged on events a bit, but, you know, I've been there, this was a few years ago now, I think around the time Civil War came out, and I hadn't been in a comic book shop for a long time, and I was in Dublin, and I went in and just sort of browsed about, and of course, you know, when you don't know what to buy, the guy said, oh, have you checked this out? And it was issue one of Civil War, and then absolutely loved it. Do you know what I mean? And it's all because of that interaction with someone that was enthusiastic about comics. A lot has to be said for enthusiasm. If someone's enthusiastic about something, it is infectious.
Yeah, I agree completely. I still often repeat that story of being completely burned by a comic shop where I went in and as a 14-year-old and asked for Usagi Yojimbo, and the bloke just laughed at me and walked off. I'm like, really? Oh God, I'm so mortified. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's reflection on them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. As a 14-year-old, you don't realise, but you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was out.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I know. Yeah. The comic shop's gone now, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, just before we came on, we did put a last minute sort of shout out, you know, if there's any sort of, you know, what are you guys doing out there? And someone who is part of the Drink and Draw, Sarah, Lady of Valhalla, friend of the show.
Tell her of a very funny story at the Drink and Draw, which did make me laugh. Yeah,
Now, she put a shout out to CGC Emporium. So we want to give a shout out to them.
That's CGC, like Winchester or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, CGC Emporium, a purveyor of fine comics, board games and other paraphernalia, online at North House, Chichester, West Sussex. Chichester.
Yeah.
And she said she was gave them a nudge saying, you should totally tell these fellas about employing a scary dragon lady with a vague grasp of the alphabet. Now we've met you, Sarah, so we know that's a load of nonsense. Yeah.
And congratulations on not being murdered by John Ottaway.
Yeah, well done. We should all pat ourselves on the back for that, really. Anyone who's met him.
Or, John was good company, and I got to tell you. Funny. Yeah.
But she also said, or, I don't know, mention the steps you've enacted to keep the local comics community going throughout lockdown with contactless pull lists and Facebook groups and stuff. Which I think is quite interesting. And I did see... I saw it with a lot of American stores, you know, on social media and stuff. They've said, like, you know, because people couldn't go into their shops to pick up their pull list.
Yeah, I know Challengers in Chicago, they've got their own podcast. They were driving their comics round to their customers, dropping them on the doorstep, knocking on the door, giving them away from a distance and driving on again.
Or like, people would come up and they the roadside sort of pull list pickup, isn't it? That sort of thing. Now, how... Obviously, you had to close your store for a certain time. Like, how was that for you? I mean, it was obviously a difficult experience, naturally.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. I mean, I did the same. I did. I drove around Spalding and dropped off people's books. Drove to Boston, which is just up the road. Let people, you know, just meet me in the car park.
And Here we go.
I mean, Diamond didn't really... They were, I don't know, at the time I was kind of, you know, harsh on them in my mind, but then I thought about it, like, I didn't think they could have done anything really different. They, you know, they closed down the warehouse, so there was no stock coming in for quite a while.
Right.
So, you know, you couldn't sell it, but you didn't have to pay for it. That was the good part of it.
So it's not like you're buying loads of comics and you can't get them out to people. Yeah, it's that kind of, because they weren't.
Yeah, yeah. And I was posting things out to people who lived a little bit further away. But because of, I do a little bit of online, and just like everyone else, you know, online trading went through the roof. So things you just, you know, you couldn't sell before were selling for sometimes more than you were even asking for them in the shop. Because the demand was so high.
Yeah. Were there some customers who... maybe there are customers who come to your shop and they love it, but they live a bit further out. They can't go there all the time. And maybe with this thing, they've now had more digital communication and they've built up more. Is there anyone that's ordered more through you since everything happened?
There's no one who's ordered a substantial amount more. I mean, I could tell some people were ordering things they never normally ordered just to help me out, which was really nice. They'd just chuck on like an action figure that they never would ever buy.
For someone who hasn't been to your shop, dude, I will say that speaks volumes to how you handle your business and your customer service if people are doing things like that.
Yeah, that's great.
You know. Yeah, that was nice. I mean, I only had one person cancel their subscriptions.
You can understand that. People aren't making money. You've got this kind of, that's the situation, isn't it? You know,
exactly. Yeah. And, but then they came back and they reinstated them after because they found out they were going to keep their job. So,
oh, good.
You know, that was fine. I was able to, you know, just track down all the books they'd missed out on. And so we didn't really have anyone lose their job, so that was good. I just did the same as everyone else. Really, I was dropping things off. I was mailing things out. Did eBay a bit, and. It kept me going, really. And then luckily, where I rent, they let me have a month off my rent. In my shop, which was really good. You know, they didn't have to do that, but it was really good of them. and just little things like that. I didn't really get much
lines, isn't it? Really, you know, just it gives you a little bit of breathing room, and then
I mean,
it affords you time to think about other things that can then help you moving forward, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if you're self-employed, you were able to access the self-employed grant scheme from the government, where they'd you could apply for this grant, which you did get taxed on, but it's better than nothing. But it only gives you like a average sum over the last 3 years. So if you hadn't submitted a tax return and you just opened up a business yourself, you weren't able to get anything, which was really bad. Which is really bad for people who had just opened up like a comic book shop or something. Because I'd only been open 2 years, so I'd filed one tax return and I got like a little bit of money.
So
that really helped as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good, man. But... yeah. Are you? Is there anything you're looking to build up in stock wise? There, I mean, you've got back issues and stuff like that. You've got a lot of black and white magazines, which I always like to look through at comic shops. Is there anything you're looking for at the moment?
Loads of stuff. I need loads of stuff. I need good quality back issues. I need good quality complete action figures. I need more magazines. I need more independent things. I need more Domus. I need more 2001s. I need everything. I need everything. Everything's good. I need more Byrne, Simonson, Miller.
Well, I mean, yeah. there's a 10,000 collection. I think you're going to see a few of them. Surely, if you've got 10,000 comics, there's going to be a few John Byrnes in there. Surely.
Just to be fair, I will be paying a lot of attention to my DMs on Instagram tomorrow.
That's if I can get them. I need so much stuff. It's unreal. Because in lockdown, because you never came to the shop before, it was so full. It was like, so I couldn't fit another thing in it. And then I sold so much stuff.
And now I
don't have anything. Well, I do have loads of good stuff, but you know, I've been putting in stuff from my own personal collection just to fill gaps. And I need like another comic book mark, because you know, I would go there and buy some nice stuff and then just put it in the shop, and you know, I wouldn't make that much money or anything, but it's just nice to have.
Yeah,
it gives like this impression that you're getting good stuff in all the time, and that's another thing you really need to get this across, is if you're a shop, that you're constantly getting in new stuff. Well, people will think, oh, I'm not going to go there; they've got nothing new.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm putting all the stuff on every day. Like, I've got this new, I've got this new, I've got this new, and it creates this illusion that you're getting new stuff in, but it's actually true; it's not an illusion. But
No, to be fair, I did do that. So I've been to your shop a few times now, and every time I've got there, the wall books are all different, the trades are all different, you know. Yeah, I've had to get a trolley to push the books to the car each time. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've had to get a trolley to push my wallet to the car.
Hey, making it rain. which all right, here's a question for you. You don't have to name any names. Now, we on this show, and anyone that's listened to us for a long time, will know that Tony, he's never declared the number, but his pull list is probably the most obscene thing you've ever seen in your life.
Calm down a bit.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be giving time what I give him.
He's the Scarface of comics. And that's how he'll go out as well. But in terms of your pull lists, is there someone that has quite a mighty pull list? Or are they quite sort of like, you know, 2, 3, 4 titles?
You don't have to name any names. There are a few. I'm sure every shop has a few. Yeah, there's like some people that come in and they just grab like a big handful and then they haven't even read them, but they're like, sign me up.
Cool. My worst period was when I was traveling a lot for work and I was overseas a lot, and I basically went in the local comic shop here and said, I want one of every book that Marvel and DC does. And then I didn't go back in because I was away for a month, and I had to drive my car up to collect them.
What a knob.
Yeah, I know.
You're still reading those comics now, aren't you?
Some of them haven't been read, I'll be honest with you.
those people, they were good though, but then there's a reverse side, and they scare you when they're piling up the comics, because I do say to some of them, like, are you sure you want to sign up to all of them? Because there's always this fear that they could either lose their job or they're not going to come back. And they've got sitting in the box maybe like 40 comics. And 40 comics equals, what's that, over £130?
Yeah.
That I've had to pay for. And the ordering system's so kind of, like, in my opinion, it's a bit broken. You know, I've got to order a book 2 months in advance. So I've got to order issue 2 of a comic when issue 1 hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah.
So I don't even know who signed up to it. So I would have ordered all these books, and then they would then cancel on me. It's absolutely just
that was
scary.
That's a moan we occasionally see, and a moan rightfully from comic shops, is they say, look, here's all the comics that haven't been collected by people.
Yeah.
And this is basically money you're taking out of my bank account while you're too scared to come in and collect your books because you're worried about how much it'll cost. So you get that quite a lot, don't you, with comic shops?
Yeah. Luckily, I've not really had that.
Right.
But, you know, comics have such a small shelf life.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
Yeah. I mean, you only got to look at Comixology. It's, 3 months down the line, they're, half price.
Mm.
Or on the Marvel app or something,
But who cares about apps? It's about going to comic book shops.
Yeah, come in.
And you've got to go to Strange Apparitions. Where can they find the shop, Alex? Like, address and everything.
Baytree Garden Centre, Spalding, Lincolnshire.
There you go.
Cool. You can see it from about 4 miles away because it's so flat. You can see
PE12 6JU.
There you go.
And if you go to your Facebook page, you can't find it. There's a handy video, because that's how I found you. How to walk into the garden centre and find you. Yeah.
Walk into the garden centre? What?
Because it's all different entries.
Like John Travolta. Is it that good?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to do that anymore. You can walk through, but that was when there was lockdown. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Yeah,
just go there.
Pick up a shed on the way out.
Please come.
Pick up a shed, maybe a latte.
That's
cool.
I fancy one of those posh sheds for my garden. You know, you can get those ones that are like pods you can sit in. I fancy one of them.
No, you just want more storage space for all those bloody comics. That's what it is.
Yeah, the garage is full now, actually.
Jesus. Yeah, and Strange Apparitions is full of great comics, so definitely go there.
Brilliant comics.
Yeah, I hope we're not bigging up too much. People and think this is shit. It's small.
No, there's loads of those.
It's not that big.
You had trades I've never seen before in there. And I go into multiple
times. He's been everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
Which ones were they?
The Four Winds one, the one with the Timothy Truman stories in. You know, the Hotspur and stuff like that Tim Truman did from ages ago. I think they're called the Four Winds.
You see, I was really confused when that came in a collection. I couldn't even find it on the internet.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I don't know whether it's just a proof or something, maybe.
It looks really cheap, doesn't it? It looks really old, for a start.
Yeah.
And it's probably worth thousands. I think I saw it for like £15.
Yeah. So. And also, the Pacific Comics Club presents Rip Kirby, which I'm looking at the moment, by Alex Raymond. The sort the large-scale newspaper strips... it's almost like a treasury edition size. That's great. I've never seen that before either.
That's cool.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
So there you go. It's not just the comic of the week shop. There's so much more. And we know you love people like finding out more. And what's Strange Apparitions on Instagram as well?
It's Strange Apparitions Shop.
I'm sure there's not a sexy pause when you're typing it. Shop.
I don't put much on, like in the actual feed, but I put stories on every day.
So go
there. And you can DM me and say, I want that. I mean, I don't really like to post things out because I want people to come to the shop. Okay. If I really like you, I'll post it out here. that's the thing. It's all about getting people in. Yeah.
Well, this is just quickly before I know Vince is wrapping up there, but you post this stuff out to me. But you're also a bit of a creator on the quiet as well yourself, aren't you? Because you're a bit of an artist. And I was a teenage swipe bag, 15 lurid images, which is a little homage to Byrne, Miller, Mazzucchelli, Otomo. You do creative stuff as well, don't you?
I dabble. the names on the front are the people who inside the book were plagiarized. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's a book about plagiarism because I wanted to kind of like teach something. If someone, I hate getting something and there's like no content, so I wanted to make something that had a lot of content. So it's that zine is about plagiarism.
Yeah, it's great, man.
Really within good. Comics.
And I got a cheeky little Batman sketch with my my order as well, and a badge. There you go.
Talking nice. Allegedly, that the Greg Land doing that allegedly swiping the alien cover.
What's he doing?
Essentially, he got like some artist who's relatively well known, and just took a load of their alien ink drawings, chopped them up on Photoshop, reassembled them, and then made a cover for Marvel out of it.
For which series? What, the new Alien series coming out?
One of the new Alien series. Yeah,
new Alien series.
Really? What, did he take one of the old Dark Horse comics and then cut it up or something?
No, it's like a smaller artist who had done like these pen and ink drawings of like the Xenomorph, and essentially like this artist shown you. I have to put it on. I'll send you the tweet on, but
it was a Christian somebody or other, wasn't it?
Yeah, they showed the bits they've cut out and stuck together to make this new alien. Then he's coloured it, and it's like, this is really naughty.
Jesus, that's crazy. But
that's one of the things about the internet is like everyone thinks. I think Greg Lang's been doing that for fucking years, but like, yeah, everything's ownership. If it's online, it's free to have, as it were.
Yeah. And he always used to use swimsuit specials and,
And porn stars and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
rubbish. But enough about Greg Land.
Yeah.
Do we have any shout? I mean, that could be a show in itself because it does my head in anyway. I've never.
Yeah, I know. That'd be great to talk about.
Because I just think there's so many other artists who deserve that job. Who could be just as regular and actually do some artwork that isn't traced.
I bet he gets a few quid as well because he's fairly established.
Of course, of course he fucking does.
But when people sell it as well, that's the worst bit.
Shouts, babes.
Yeah, do we have any shout outs this week, gents?
Got a couple. So congratulations to John Tucker for smashing it on Kickstarter. Well done, John.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yes. And obviously improved completely. We helped him with that. It was all down to us because you give it a shout out.
It's all us. Yeah. We've made him.
I've got an email from that Kickstarter and says like your thing has been declined. And I didn't realise my bank card went out of date yesterday.
Oh no.
The details. So I've got to quickly jump on it tonight and re-update the details on Kickstarter.
Yeah. It's closed, I think.
Yeah, I backed it.
Yeah.
Oh right, you can update your card. Yeah, that's fine. Inktober thread. Are we allowed? We had a discussion. We're going to call it Inktober still, aren't we? I think we're allowed to.
Yeah.
There's an Inktober thread on the Facebook page. Even I'm drawing something, so please come along and take part. It's very encouraging. People talking about art. People posting what they're drawing every day. It's good stuff. Yeah, very good fun. Little personal shout out. It's the 10th anniversary of the Never Mind Anything blog yesterday.
Hey.
Yeah, so I'm pleased with that. Yeah, it's nice that I've kept it going. It's been a bit slow last couple of months because I've sort of moved into the podcast, but things do turn up on there. And I'm currently writing a little retrospective, things I've learned, things that have changed in the last 10 years. So I expect to see that this week. It'll be a bit salty.
Nice. Lovely.
You should go on there if you listen to this and take a look at like a con you've been at where Tony's done a report. It's a lovely way to sort of like look at what the con life used to be like.
Yeah, the one you reposted, man. The one we had a laugh at, the London Super Comic Con, the last one. That was that brought back some good memories, actually.
I think you've got at least two or three on there, haven't you, of like con reports?
Oh, loads, man. There's four or five. There's Leamington. There's all sorts of things. There's not another comic con. That's that sort of thing. Yeah.
You go check it out.
They're my ones. Thank you, guys.
Nice. Then just go to Kickstarter. You'll find loads of comic Kickstarters. There's fucking loads at the moment. I don't have any specifics. Normally I've had some specifics, but a lot of them have just come to the end. And we're being inundated with people talking about the
Kickstarter. Yeah, we could be on it for minutes.
We could be. Some of those folks out there that we like, etc., will probably retweet their Kickstarters and stuff. But
Oh, can I mention one more? I've got one more. So A Handful of Dust, which is Eamon Clarke's podcast with his daughter, where they discuss the Sandman and the spin-off titles, has just done Death, the High Cost of Living, and it is an exceptional podcast, really insightful. And I was chatting to him about it today, and it's one where he discusses a comic with his daughter that they both enjoyed, and I think we need a bit more of that. Get that next generation, getting enthused about comics. I'm very impressed with it. Really good, clever stuff.
One thing I can quickly mention as a shout out, tomorrow or today, as you listen to this on the 5th, we're having the competition results of the Watergeist. People are going to post up their entries for. On Watergeist.
There's a couple in the drink and draw.
Okay, it's been a hard one to keep the energy up on this one because all the shit going on, but I think afterwards we'll move it back to like the 2 weekly this draw something challenge.
Yeah,
a bit easier to run.
I think so.
There you go. You live and you learn.
Yeah, we gave it a go, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks.
Can I shout one out?
Cool.
I just want to shout Alexis Zirat. He's originally from Venezuela, things around spoiler. He's got a new book coming out called Night Hunters with Dave Baker, and it's like a cyberpunk type book. It's really cool, and it's published by, I think, Floating World Comics.
Oh, nice. And I like this stuff. Yeah,
he designed our t-shirts for the shop.
Oh, yes, I know the guy. Yeah.
He did Space Riders. I think you got...
Yeah, I bought the trade off you. Yeah, it's good. It's nutty good. Yeah,
yeah, it's got great colours, isn't it? It's,
it's got a kind of pop to it. It falls into... it reminds me a little bit of what the Outlaw Comics thing's doing. It's got that crazy, you know, don't worry about it, just get on with it kind of vibe to it, which is good. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter if a limb looks weird. Like, you just go with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a vibe. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's really, really... Yeah, and it's like a cyberpunk dystopian type thing. It's all pinks and purples and blues, and it's just really cool. Yeah. And that's going to be out, I think, next month.
Oh, cool. Oh, nice one. I'll give that a shout. Yeah, I like Floating World put out some really interesting stuff.
I'll do one last one.
It is a Kickstarter runner known as Gustavo's.
I was just about to say, cool. As soon as you said Cyberpunk, I immediately thought of one of the nicest people ever.
He got a shout out from Brian Michael Bendis.
He backed it, didn't he?
So that goes to show you kind of like people maybe broadening horizons and taking
stuff,
in more.
Man. Love Bendis. Bendis, he's another shining light of positivity. Yeah. That dude. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yep. And more good stuff is the recommendation section of the show. Our lovely guests always go first here in the comic book cafe that is the awesome pod. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I like that.
Quite nice though, wasn't it? Like there should be like smooth jazz playing in the background or something. But Alex, what would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
Okay. Can I do two?
You can do.
Of course you can.
Yeah. Or, if you've got two, how about you do one now, and then you sign us off?
Yeah, good
idea. The pressure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this one I mentioned earlier, and Tony mentions it every single week, but I want everyone to read Savage Dragon.
Yeah, like, good man.
Everyone. It's just so good. It's just awesome. Every week, it's just so, every month, so good. I've read every issue, and it's never let me down, ever. I don't know what to say. Nice. It's a guy who looks like the Hulk. And when he first comes into it, it's really mysterious. You don't know his origin or who he is or anything. It's like really good mystery.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's like RoboCop as well. When it comes to just, if you like RoboCop, you're probably like the kind of...
Yeah, because he becomes a cop for a big chunk of it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's his son now doing it in the comic, but it's still really cool.
There might be an appearance, mightn't there? There's a surprise appearance at the end of 251, I think, isn't there? Is that right?
251. That says it all, doesn't it?
That does. Yeah. That so does, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
I think it's the third. Is it the third longest running independent comic?
Mm. Oh, is it? Okay.
After Spawn and Cerberus.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's probably more that we don't know about. But it's just really good. You get extra content in the back that you don't get in other comic books. You know, in the early issues, he'd write like little blurbs about, you know, how to get into comics and about his life, which I think that people should do more of, because I love artwork, but I also love creators. I want to find out why they do what they do. So that's like, you know, it's really interesting to me. And also, like, when you see his art evolve, and it's just like beautiful seeing it go from kind of like that kind of like messy 90s, like hectic style with loads of detail, and then it just kind of goes into like a Kirby-esque type.
He's definitely so Kirby. Then some of the fight scenes and the I'd love a page of it. Just amazing. But I don't think he sells it, does he?
He does.
Sad, isn't it? I mean, it will take you ages to get the issues. You know, they're really cheap, like the back issues. But if you get the Savage Dragon archives, which have about 25 issues in every volume, they're in black and white, and that puts some people off. But I think it's amazing because he's still pure artwork. He does
colour trades as well, doesn't he? Around certain subjects, certain little stories and stuff. Yeah.
He doesn't do all of it though, does he? It's really annoying. He'll do like, you know, up to issue 50, and then he'll get one from like 200. So you miss out on all this good stuff. Mm. He goes into space, he has aliens, he travels in time, he does all these things. And it has all these qualities of old comics, but modern. So you have, because they don't make comics anymore where people on the front cover are just like running at you with a fist or someone's just smashing someone in the face and they're flying through a brick wall. Like, they don't make comics like that anymore. They're always just stoic poses of like ripped superheroes.
I know.
And that's what's lost about it, because kids would see that cover and go, oh my God.
Yeah, it's not, you know, overly kid friendly. There is a woman who rides a fountain of spunk at one point in it.
That old classic trope.
I think it's about a year and a half ago we had a bit of a fucking hell moment, didn't we, when I sent you two a picture of what was going on in Savage Dragon.
Don't let your kids read it, but you can read the early ones.
It's a lot of violence,
but... punk comics. It's like mainstream punk comics. That's what it feels like. Just a creator that's like, I'm just going to make my comic, and you can think whatever you want, but I'm going
to. Great person to follow on Facebook as well, because he puts out a lot of process. He talks about a lot of upcoming covers, what he's doing, what's on the go. It's good.
He knows his stuff as well, which is really cool.
He does.
And I can't imagine it's like actually making any money. So he's probably just like printing a loss or something.
Yeah,
or breaking even, which is
living
so sad.
Dollars,
it's so sad.
Yep.
So everyone, please buy that.
Good.
There you go. And the pressure's on for the final one. Dan, do you want to go next?
Oh, go on.
Yes, sure. I've got this one. I saw a little clip of it online, and I had to buy it because it would make me laugh. You can talk about smiling already. It's Mega Hex by Simon Hanselman. And it's a riff on the old Megan Mogg books, Meg Mogg and Al. I don't know if you know them. I recently, recently, a couple of years ago, read them to myself. They're sort of like young, older teens, young 20s, sort of stoner versions of them. And they just constantly get stoned and get up to pranks with one another. And it's really dark, very dark indeed. There's one sequence I sent on to Tony and Vince, and I did post it online where they're all taking a load of drugs, and all the characters in it seem to bully the Owl character, who keeps on trying to get his life sorted out but can't because they constantly interfere in it, and they drug him up and he's passed out. I'm laughing already. I don't think I'll be able to go through with this. And they strip him down and put some sunglasses on him and put him in a shopping trolley and then go to like a drive-thru, and they put an order in, and as they go drive up to the window, they push Al in the shopping trolley naked, and it kind of cuts to the woman behind the counter serving, and you see him come up and there's a flash of his genitals and she like gasps, and then the next panel of him like going away and he ends up like in traffic and getting arrested. But they're just absolute degenerates. It's you've got to have like a really strong sort of a robust sense of humor to get a lot of this. This is definitely not a comic for kids. It's
really even though it might possibly appear to be that from the cover, it's definitely not.
You can't get anything else not bad, but it's like just rampant drug use, rampant like sexual references. The cat Mog in this world, it's like witches and cats have this kind of relationship where cats rim the witches. I was alright if I lick your butt, and she's like, Mog's like, Meg's like, yeah, it's fine. And it's absolutely messed up. And there's one character in the werewolf Jones, which is just like, he's like the ultimate party animal. We do anything for a laugh. And he's like the person that if we say, oh, do you hear about that guy that did X at this party? And it's Werewolf Jones. Because he's saying what a nutter he is, and it ends up one scene where he's like put a cheese grater on his testicles.
Isn't that the character that Rachel Lee Carter's got a crush on?
Yeah, he's great. He is a great character. Yeah. He has to leave the party and he comes back later with stitches on. He starts fucking around and he hear a pop and all his trousers. Blood red. So it's fucking it's hilarious. I could only read a bit of it at the time and then started laughing, and my wife said, can you not read that, because she was trying to watch something.
Hilarious. Don't let her bully you. What we talked about.
It's like one of those it's like an Adult Swim or one of those late night sort of animated shows that you'd see on Channel 4 like back in the day, where it was on at like 2 in the morning and you watch it and you just think, this is so mental and wrong. What the hell is this?
Yeah. It's a bit like something you used to see in like Weirdo magazine in the underground days. And you're like, because I think the quote from Crumb was that he would publish people who lived in mental institutions. Yeah. It's a bit like that.
It used to run as a webcomic on Tumblr, and then it got printed
Right.
And now Simon puts his work on Instagram, and you can, he does like a comic, I think, every couple of days or a week. And it's been running since the beginning of the lockdown. It's their adventures in lockdown and dealing with COVID. And it's very sort of on point. And yeah. it gets down every time.
I've heard him try to talk about this book several times, and he laughed every time. If that doesn't speak volumes for why you got to get it, then I don't know what is it. Yeah,
it's kind of sad at the end. Like the owl character sort of says, he gets a job, and he goes, "I'm going to start tomorrow, and then I'm going to move out. I've had enough of this life." So they work out when he's the last train he can get to his work. They change the clock, so basically he has to run all the time. They foul all these clothes except for one, and they make him have a wet dream, and he's trousers, so he has to go to, like, not washed. At the interview, someone says, "Someone smells like semen." Sweating, and he gets fired from the job and basically like leaves at the end of it. But I think that gets retconned in the following stories, because I'd recommend checking it out. You can find it online.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes. Marvellous. Marvellous. Very on brand for this show. Very on brand. Right, I'll go up next.
Okay.
I got a book on Comixology from Magnetic Press, another one of those sort of publishers who are taking sort of... seems to be, I mean, obviously it's the first time I discovered it, but they're taking work from sort of older European books. And certainly when I look on the inside cover of this, because sometimes when we see this translation of like European books and stuff, I always wonder, well, how long has this been out? You know, yeah. I'm discovering it now, but when is this? And this is a title, it's a French title. How do you say the French publisher's name?
Dargaud.
From 2011.
Okay.
This one. It's going to be four issues released digitally, and it's called Pistuvi. And it's basically, it's about a mischievous sort of fox living in a lush prairie with his best friend Gian. Together they live a carefree life, concerned only about the giant birds that roam the region, because if they talk to you, you could go mad. I was drawn to this book immediately because it's got a really striking sort of front cover of this sort of little fox character, and it brought to mind, for me, those sort of kids' books like Hilda and things like that. You know, it's that
yeah,
sort
okay.
of, that sort
yeah.
of
Moomin-esque.
Yeah, kind of, very yeah, much, very yeah. much. Which, and you know, from that alone, like the birds that if they talk to you, you could go mad. That brings in the element of darkness. There's, you know, a lot of these sort of, it's not a grown up book. This I think it is all ages. But there is a certain element of I don't know quite what's going on, but I'm along for the ride. It also felt to me, it's black and white art. Written by Merwan. I've probably get this wrong, and art by Bertrand Gatignol. And it's got black and white sort of artwork that felt, when I was looking through it, very sort of manga, anime like. Yeah, it's black and,
okay.
black and white and greys and things like that. But I got a real Studio Ghibli sort of vibe. You know, when. Because some of that is. There's, you know, it's so fantastical and strange and not always explained. Do you need to explain these sort of things? You know, and like fairy tales and weird folklore and stuff, sometimes things are just odd. And there's two characters that are interacting. I already know that they're in this sort of like tree house. And they're very much, you know, they're holding up there, and it's like they're building it up to be like a fortress. But there's loads of like weird sort of birds outside. They're not menacing. They just look like strange cartoonish sort of birds. If you look at the front cover, they've got like these big eyes, and they hardly look that menacing. And I don't know what the, you know, how they drive you mad. And there's strange things going on. Like the girl at one point, she comes out with an ocarina, and then when she plays it, the birds sort of flip out and they sort of get hypnotized, but they then become sort of, they stretch and they bend in weird kind of ways. It's very sort of fairy tale like, and there's strange things going on, but I was in for the count. And this is 51 pages. I read it earlier today actually, because I was thinking, what should I read today? And I had bought this a little while ago because we talk about some books. Was this on? Did this have price off? I'm not sure. It's $1.59 on Comixology.
Okay.
The later issues you can pre-order now. There's 2, 3, and 4 coming. They're going to be $2.39 apparently.
I think they have done that before, where the first issue is cheaper, haven't they?
Cheaper, yeah, yeah. And this came out. Though it says, oh, I didn't notice this in Comixology. Digital release date 14th of September. Print release date 28th of October.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't know.
I've seen that as a growing trend. I've seen that a bit. I suppose with COVID, that's something you've got to specify these days, haven't you?
Yeah. But, I mean, certainly I didn't know. I still don't know too much about Magnetic Press other than they're putting out some good titles.
Great stuff, know? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely one to look out for, especially if you like those sort of books that we talked about here, you know, Moomins, Hildy. I think Moomins is a good shout, dude, because like, if you like that kind of stuff, and we know there's a lot of people who do, the weirdness of it, this will be right up your street. It was good fun, actually. And like I say, 159 for 51 pages digitally, that's not too bad.
That's good, man. Yeah.
They must have all... I mean, that's kind of what a European Bon Dessiné is, though, isn't it? When they release a book, they're normally about 50-odd pages, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I think it used to be for a long time the standard was 48 pages, I think.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
so yeah. I would presume, and some people, obviously some of our European listeners might know, this is a book that's probably been released, I don't know, if this one was 2011, next one was 12, 13, 14. So this has probably been, it's probably about 5 years old, something like that. But you never know when you go discover it. And I think it's quite quirky. And
cool. Yeah, so, nice one.
Yeah.
I always scan their page on Comixology. If I can't find anything fun, I'll go to Magnetic. They're one of the ones I scan often now.
Yeah, they're very interesting. I thought it was a fresh new book. Well, it is, though. It's the first time I've discovered it, so it kind of is. But I just thought it was quite interesting seeing that date of when it originally came out.
Yeah.
And these people are getting good books and getting them out to larger audiences, which is what it's all about, really. So.
Cool.
Anyway, Tony, cool. You up next?
Yeah. So mine's Zira, which is XIRA, and it's three issues. I read the three issues by Red 5 Comics. Now, I didn't do the research into this, but I suspect this is a translation as well. Written by Mauro Mantella, art by Diego Gribaldi, and colors by Ramon Bunge. I think that's how you say it. B-U-N-G. Bunge. It's 3 24-page comics. Slightly more expensive. Perhaps a little too expensive at $3.19 each. This is the one I spoke to you guys about when I was away on holiday. It's like Wii 3. You remember the Wii 3 story, don't we? Was it Grant Morrison and Frank Quietly? Was that it? Wii 3 about
that?
Yeah. It's a good series. But it's like that if that was a Grindhouse movie. It's turned up. And there's a lot of gore in it. And there's a lot of mecha suits and battles and stuff like that. So to lay it up, Zero is a female chimpanzee who not only has been experimented on a whole of life, but she's also a mother. She's in one of these military laboratories and they're trying to make her into the perfect astronaut. And she's getting significantly smarter as time goes by and smarter than the scientists realize, which is always a nice little layup. One of the scientists has given her a tablet to draw on, you know, like an iPad. Mm-hmm. And she hands it back to show. She shows them what she's drawn. And it's a very sort of childlike, this is the family, this is our house. You know the way kids draw it. You know, this is a tree next to the house. And the scientist is going, oh, look at this. This is very impressive. This is an amazing drawing. Look at that. We've got a chimpanzee to do that. But they fail to notice that there's a little notification in the bottom left-hand corner of someone has left her a DM. And she's clearly communicating with them. And that little moment you think, all right, I'm going to dig this. This is going to go well. So that escalates and she's looking to escape and she's looking to grab her kid and get out of there. And as we all know, chimpanzees are kind of cool in the movies, but they will rip your face off, aren't they? We all know this now, don't we? I think we're all aware of that.
Yeah. Or they'll rip your genitals off and beat you to death with them. Well, you know, something lovely like that.
Yeah. So this really is like the video nasty version of Wii 3. Oh my God. Yeah, good. And she goes and
a little bit of the hot stepper. Then that was nice.
Don't you'll come. And what happens is she begins to escape and get out of there. And they said, look, she can't get near this. And it turns out there's this very sophisticated mecha suit with a rocket launcher in it that her and her kid escape in. and it just takes off from there. It's just fucking amazing. I mean, at one point she's killing people, army, police, rampaging through the city in an attempt to escape, and she throws a car at a helicopter, and it's the art is absolute class. It's just realistic motion, full color, loads of background, loads of detail in it, but absolutely action. There's a lot of blood, there's a lot of she punches people's heads off and this sort of thing. And then little tease for issue three, I won't spoil it all for you, but there's in issue three a Mandrill turns up, Mandrill being the most scary of all apes. I think we all know that, don't we?
Yeah. They'll rip your bum all out and
they will too. The Mandrill turns up in a mech as well, and there's a fight that takes off, absolutely takes off.
Is it called a mech drill?
I'd hope so.
If it's not, I'm not buying it.
Yeah. I think Diego Garibaldi's Argentinian. There's genuinely not enough of his work online. I went on a scavenger hunt trying to find stuff of his, and there wasn't enough there. It's a nice contained three-story arc, three stories. There's a moment at the end where I wasn't 100% sure who was dead and who was what and who was where, but it rectified it. I think there was just a little niggle. I'm like, oh, wait, hang on, I thought that was dead. It's not dead, it's there. There was a bit of that, but it makes up for it in pages and pages of great action. And you really warm to this character, Zira. I mean, like the Planet of the Apes movies, the Escape from Planet of the Apes, wherever it was, the apes are the heroes in this, and the humans are just bastards. Yeah, and it's she's a mother trying to save her son, but she does it unusually in a big mecha suit with a rocket launcher, flying helicopters. So it's really good. It's by Red 5 Comics. It's like they're $3.19 each, which is a little much, I'm going to say, but I'd love to get my hands on a trade or a Bond Destiny album or something like that with this. But yeah, cracking stuff. And I bought it on Comixology, I should have said. There you go.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's my one. Nice. All right, then, Alex. Sign us off.
This is the one I always have on my recommend board, and I always recommend to everyone. I don't know if you've actually spoken about it before.
Okay.
Deadly Class.
Not much. We might have had a mention, but yeah, we've not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, most people probably know it from the TV show.
Mm. Yeah.
It wasn't really that good, but the books are excellent.
Mm. Right. Okay.
Yeah, really, really good.
When a TV show sort of comes and goes, I wonder how does a book do after the TV show has gone in the dust. And hopefully, obviously, a good book speaks for itself, doesn't it? And it had quite a few volumes before anyone spoke about any adaption.
Exactly. I mean, unless you're an Umbrella Academy, I don't think shows really do that much. Because, you know, I sell out of Umbrella Academy like constantly, but nothing else, really. This one's just really good. I mean, when I first heard about it, I thought the premise sounded kind of stupid. You know, like, it's this school that teach teenagers to become assassins.
Yeah.
You think that sounds a bit maybe like a manga or something, you know, like a teen manga.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or something
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's really serious, and it's set in the 80s, which makes it really cool, and there's loads of nods and everything. And the main character, Marcus, he works in the comic book shop, so that's really cool. So, you get to see a comic book shop. It's a Rick Remender book. So, and he's a really high caliber writer anyway.
Yeah.
And then the artist, he's called Wes Craig. And he's done other books, but nothing really notable, like Gravedigger's Union and things like this. But no one really knows him, I don't think.
He's got two books. I picked up a couple of books of the Gravedigger's Union, and I've yet to read them.
Okay.
I hope that's
read that.
Yeah,
okay.
Quite good, that.
Yeah, he's, I don't know, he's like so unknown, but he's like absolutely brilliant. Like, he's like amazing. It's just so good. I mean, I can't really compare him to anyone. His artwork's just all his own. But he does action and kinetic things like really well. But also, you know, just nice soft moments where people are just standing alone talking. Mm. And you just follow the kind of like the class as they go through the different years in the school and kind of things that happen. And it's absolutely brilliant.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I bought it for my son. My son loves that book. Yeah.
Yeah. It is one of those titles that amongst, you know, around the time that, like, Southern Bastards and Black Science, you know, there was a wave.
Yeah, Image was on fire at that time.
Yeah. And Deadly Class was one of them that was just consistently, if you're a fan of Deadly Class, you were in all of it. So, and I have yet to read it, but is it still going or is it coming to an end?
It's still going. It's just got a really erratic schedule.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I read the first trade. I liked it. Yeah, I remember now. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it gets better, way better than that.
Right. Okay.
Oh, nice.
You get really hooked. It's really good to get the... They're expensive, but if you get the deluxe ones that have, like, you know, 12 issues in, and then you just binge them.
Yeah. I mean, I had the, you know, the Black Science Week, and Rick Remender's work to read on that sort of scale is, like, you know, it just constantly reconfirms, fuck me, he can write comics.
We should do as a podcast what you did there, V, one week. We should maybe all read the same trade like that. That was a really, really good experiment, that.
And a joy if you really like it.
When we did Breakdown, Cat's book, Breakwater.
Oh, yeah.
Breakwater.
Because we essentially did that on that, didn't we?
We did. That's right.
And I do want to give a quick shout out to Breakwater, actually, because I received my copy through the post the other day. You got yours as well, didn't you?
Yeah. I've got the same. Nice. I ordered Victory Point because Tony recommended it.
Nice. Yeah, and I've got The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott. So we both got a couple of Avery Hill books.
Cool.
We love them.
Yeah, I've not read that yet. We've got that in the Dropbox, haven't we, ready to read?
Yeah, and we love reading Breakwater. It looks even better in print.
Right.
Mm. It's a lovely looking book. Lovely looking book. So many pages that I think, oh, I want a print of that on my wall. Especially there's one at the end, which is just, it's just looking out over the sea. One of the last final pages. So, Kat, if you're listening, I want to print.
Or just the original page.
Yeah, just the original page. Well, she works digitally, doesn't she?
Oh, of course she does, yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, so there you go. Lots of brilliant comics for you all to check out. And thank you very much, Alex, for joining us this week. This has been a lot of fun.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Yeah, it'd be great, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we wish onwards and upwards, Strange Apparitions, and everything that you do.
Thank you. I got the name off a graphic novel.
I mean, look at that. You know, what a nerd.
Comic Slifer. Yeah.
He's in good company here. Much like you, lovely people. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If there's anything that we talked about that you want us to discuss more, maybe there's some, you know, your local comic book shop you want us to shout out, or maybe they're doing an event or something like that, let us know. Because, you know, as we talked about here, the indie comic shops are fighting the good fight for, you know, they're the ones you've got to support, you know, because they're the ones that have, like, probably driven to your house like Alex did and threw them through your post box like Paperboy, the video game Paperboy. I was just imagining doing that just on a bicycle, just throwing comics into people's letterboxes. That's how I pictured it anyway. But you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we will, I mean, the lads have had the keys to the car, and I can, you know, we're more.
Can I just say that I've just looked at our Twitter and it's made me do a sex wee.
Yeah, just you wait, Tony. I've got some news after the show.
Good.
So, yes, follow us at The Awesome Pod, where we'll be announcing guests, topics that we'll talk about, retweeting, just, you know, interacting with the community. So let us know what you think of this show, and help spread the word. We love you for it. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And also, if you want to join a great community of people that just want to talk about comics and just love comics, whether it be shops, books, process, anything, join the Facebook group Awesome Comics Talk. There are a lovely bunch of people on there. I haven't been on there for a little bit, so I need to go on and read it a bit more, but like we say, we've got the...
It's on fire at the moment. It's very busy. Yeah.
So go and join in, because they're all lovely. And it's got nothing to do with us. It's the community itself that's made that page really good.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to us, whether it is on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to iTunes, please subscribe. Leave a review. Say something nice about us. Please. No, that was really sad, wasn't it? I sounded really desperate.
Oh, go on.
Go on, please. Please. Dan will say please, won't you, Dan?
Yes, please. Please leave a review.
There you go.
A nice one.
Yeah. God. Yeah, please, a nice one. Because it helps people, helps get the word out about the show, and more people discover great indie comics, creators, and comic book shops. So there you go. And if you listen to us on any other networks like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are you on, Tony?
We're on Pod Cheggers Plays Pop.
We're going to have to update your reference book.
Blame Andy Hanks. He made me look at something quite horrific the other day.
Don't throw him under the bus, right? I'll never blame you, Andy. You know that. And we don't blame you for listening to this show because we love you. So,
yes.
thank you very much for listening. Where can people find us online, etc., Mr. Esmond?
TributePress.BigCartel.com for all your not safe for work comics needs.
There you go, like a pro. Speaking of pros, Dan, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
There you go, absolutely smashing it. You can find my warbling, just doodling, and cats at Jester Diablo on Instagram and Twitter. And once again, Alex, where can people find your wonderful shop online, etc.?
You can find me on Instagram at instagram.com/strangeapparitionshop, and Facebook is strangeapparitionshop, and email is strangeapparitionshop@gmail.com, and I have a website as well, which is strangeapparitions.com.
There you go.
Always, consistent, baby.
It's always sexier when you go strange apparitions
shop.
Oh, it's that little break that just, yeah.
A little bit of ASMR comes in. Shop.
It's too long.
Oh, dear.
He gets like this at the end.
Yeah.
No, I mean, my name on the shop is too long.
No.
I shouldn't have chosen that name.
Take that back.
No, you take that back. You've locked in now, you know. I've got to say the word awesome every week. It was my favourite word. No, it still is, actually. It's a great word because this show is awesome. And you lovely people are awesome too. So go have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. Stay safe. Stay healthy wherever you are. We hope you're all okay out there, because we love you and we want you reading comics and making comics and just being safe. So from all of us here at ACP HQ, from Dan, Tony, Alex and myself, have a brilliant week. And as always, what do?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Hey, nailed it.
I'm happy with that.
Brilliant one. Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
In a room, I don't know if it's too echoey. I'm gonna put it onto a earphones and see if it's
yeah. Okay, give that a go, man. Yeah. It's a tiny bit, but not unmanageable.
Yeah,
I'll put it in now.
Okay.
Is that any better?
That's much better, actually. Better. Yeah, oh, yeah. Cool. Did that went that you put that in quite well. To be fair, that went well.
Did it go in deep?
Oh, she said.
Dan's back in the room. Hello and welcome to episode 274 of the Awesome Comics Podcast. Place where the small press makes one hell of a bit.
Right. Go again.
That hasn't happened in a long time.
Check the gate.
I'll check your gate. No, that sounds a bit weird.